We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Did I hear that correctly at the top of the hour, Sue, that the president has called for Andrew Cuomo to resign?
Yep, that's what I saw on the screen there.
We've been kind of waiting for that, and it was a short comment, but Andrew Cuomo being defiant, saying he's not going to step down. We'll have much more on that as we move through the afternoon. Sue's news is coming up here in just a couple of minutes, but I found this story. This is getting a little national attention, but I think because I mentioned this in the last hour, because of the news cycle, so much other stuff going on, you might not hear about this. A guy named Aaron Pressman did a story in the Boston Globe, an investigative piece, and the way I understand, I'm going to tell you about David Steiner and his wife, Ina, from Natick, Massachusetts. And the way I understand it, many years ago, this was back when the internet was just starting, like late 90s, eBay was around, and they were putting together a newsletter that was giving people tips on how to sell things on eBay, little tricks and stuff like that. Then they kind of parlayed that into some criticism of eBay, you know, aggressive criticism, but it was not unlike what other people were doing as well. All right, so you have that as the background. And here's what, and I'm going to read from the Twitter string that he sent out because it's just easier than reading from the whole column, and you can, you know, seek out the details as you see fit.
Now, this is him talking about what happened in the 90s?
Yeah, no, just listen here, because this happens, that's how it kind of got started, right? And then when they start publishing these things that are critical of eBay, the allegation, their criminal charges, that people at eBay strike back. Now, listen to what they did. So David Steiner was puttering around in his garage one morning. A neighbor says, hey, your fence has been tagged. And he thought it must be a joke. It was June of 2019. He had no clue that the vandalism was just the start of a bizarre harassment campaign directed by senior executives at eBay. It wasn't just like these low-level workers.
Wait a minute. How come it's this far after? How is this 2019 and this happened in the 90s and then they're just now mad?
Well, because, okay, all of the background happened in the 90s. All of this stuff happened. I don't know exactly the timing of what happened in 2019. I can't remember that. But let's see if the string sort of indicates that. So they provide, he says, the Steiners started e-commerce Bites in 99 to help online sellers who use platforms like eBay. It's the couple's full-time occupation. Their take on eBay was often, though hardly exclusively, critical, and the criticism didn't go down well at the firm. Prosecutors say the harassment campaign started with the fence spray painting. It was sparked by complaints about articles in e-commerce Bites from Devin Wenig, who's the CEO of eBay, to his subordinates. On August 8th of 2019, their email inboxes filled up with newsletters they hadn't signed up for, ranging from Heather's irritable bowel syndrome to more disturbing fare featuring pornography. So they're starting to spam them, you know, because they're trying to harass them. 2 days later, the phone rings. It's a taxidermy and animal parts shop in Arizona asking about the purported order for the Steiners of a fetal pig. So one day they get in the mail, and there's actually pictures of some of these things. One day it was a book for David called Grief Diaries, Surviving Loss of a Spouse.
Whoa.
A few days later, a florist arrived with sympathy wreath for David. So they're, I mean, this
Good
is harassment.
Grief.
That sounds like a Sopranos.
It does. And totally. This is from a big company at eBay. So unbeknownst to the Steiners, on August 15th, a group of eBay employees had flown to Boston, rented two vehicles, checked into the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. The black van, New York plates, Ina told David as the vehicle drove past their house. Later in the day, he notices the same van following him while he's in his car with a friend. He says, I can still feel how every hair on my back, on my neck, stood up. Thinking they might be attacked, the couple decides to sleep in different rooms. Ina put a laundry cart by her back door with baking sheets on top. She says, we didn't have a full alarm system. This could at least warn us if someone broke in. So they go to last June. Federal prosecutors announced criminal charges against former eBay employers and a contractor, or employees rather, six of them. The company apologizes to the Steiners, said it conducted an investigation that resulted in terminating all the employees charged by the government. Wenig, who was not charged, he was the CEO, was allowed to resign with a compensation package worth $57 million.
Oh.
Steiner, it says the Steiner scandal was a consideration in his departure.
This is the weirdest.
So now there's a civil lawsuit in an attempt to get the fuller story and gain some compensation for the mental toll exacted by the company's employees. And some of this is devious stuff. And that's just really kind of scratching the surface on some of the details that are in this story.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you said the fence was tagged earlier. What does that mean?
They spray painted it.
Okay.
Yeah,
got
I'm
it.
Sorry. And,
all
I,
right.
And they did say in the story, since I was reading from the Twitter highlights, they talked in the story more specifics of some of the things. Like
okay.
One of the things, remember I talked about that shop in Arizona? One time she gets this thing, she opens up the mail, it's suspicious, she doesn't know where it's coming from, the wife, and it's from some sort of chemical company or something that's strange. I'd have to look at the story. So she thinks maybe she doesn't want to open the thing. Well, she calls the company that's on the return address label, and they tell her it's like spiders and stuff like that.
Ugh.
So if she would have opened it up, there's like hundreds of spiders in this package.
What?
That's
in
how
the
creepy they got
world?
With this stuff.
Now, was this after this couple filed a lawsuit, or did they file a lawsuit based on this harassment?
It's based on the harassment. So
jeez.
Some of this goes back, again, this goes back a ways, but they prosecuted these guys last year. I never heard about it at the time. Maybe it was because we were all in the thick of COVID. But now the Boston Globe has done this investigative piece because they're, you know, filing the civil suit. It is they turned Spotlight into a movie. This is so weird. It wouldn't surprise me if at the very least it gets a Lifetime movie or
this
something like
totally
that.
This is Lifetime for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's a weird, weird, creepy story. Anyway, I wanted to pass. Any kind of creepy, weird stuff we like to kind of highlight here on The Mark Reardon Show. I can guarantee you that.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue. Oh, yeah.
Olympics. Okay, so if you don't listen or read social media, you may not know this. Spoiler alert. Simone Biles won the bronze on the balance beam, and I think we can watch it tonight. Fred, what are your thoughts?
Yep, they were promoting it's tonight.
Okay, it's tonight. Are you going to watch it?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. This makes me happy. Norwegian hurdler Carsten Warholm set a world record. Did you see that? This is nuts. And I'm not sure if they aired it yet because I watched it on YouTube this morning. This is why I get confused whether I'm spoiler alerting people or not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think at this point, though.
Okay.
You know.
He set a record in the 400-meter hurdles and won gold. One AP writer said the race was nothing short of a masterpiece. It was just beautiful to watch.
Did he just blow the field
away? He never thought in his wildest imagination. He set a world record, but so did the guy in second place.
Oh, I did see something about this on Twitter. Yeah.
It was nuts. If you want to go down the hole and watch it of YouTube, it's great. His time was 45.94 seconds, and this is hurdles in the 400. And the American, Rye Benjamin, who got second, also ran faster than any other hurdler in history. And he got 46.17. It really has been one of the best races of the Olympics, if you want to watch it.
Well, I was watching a little bit of the prelims last night. They were doing a lot of that in the rain.
Yeah. Ooh,
that scared me.
It's amazing, like the thin, very razor-thin margin of error you have for hurdles.
Oh,
it's just one little mistake, and it screws you up. You're
totally
done.
That's how it was for me when I was running hurdles.
Right.
I know that. Once in a while, I'd just get off a beat on on my timing, and it would just be a disaster. I'd do a face plant.
I really hate to hear that, Mark, because you were very skilled.
I was
skilled
at the time. Really pointed toward. Which Olympics was that, Fred? I forgot.
That was the 1904.
Yeah. 1904.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you do look good for your age. Yes. I will say, the whole story about the Poland granting that Belarusian. Thank you, Dave, who said she feared for her safety after. Okay, here's what happened.
I know nothing about this.
This 24-year-old, whose name I cannot pronounce, criticized her country on Instagram. She said, you know what? The coaches haven't been that great. And immediately, as soon as her country read about it, they sent a plane for her to try to get her back, and she was fearing for her life. So she actually applied for a visa to Poland because she wanted to get out and not go back to her own country. You know, remember in the 80s, was it in the 80s, when all this would happen with Russia, people were defecting all the time and you would have to protect them? This is the first time I've read about something like that since then.
So Japan's still protecting her?
Well, Japan is turning her over to Poland, which is really close to
Belarus.
Thank you. I cannot say that to save my life. Part of it is because I can't type, and I typed it wrong about 15 times. But they're going to save her, and everything is okay. Three people were injured when an iceberg wall collapsed at the Titanic Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee yesterday.
Seems fitting, doesn't it?
The irony in that.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable. Now, by the way, I had to look this up. There are 7 or 8 Titanic museums in the world.
You know, there was an exhibit that came to the Science Center years ago, and they had the ice wall. That was kind of cool to go up and put your hand against the wall.
Okay, well, that's what this sounds like, Fred. And there's one in Branson that's supposed to be really cool.
I did one years ago where you're given a name at the beginning, and then at the end you figure out if you survive or not, which is kind of creepy.
Was it in Tennessee?
I think
this is the one.
Yeah.
And they say on the website they have, they've got a big fake iceberg against a fake Titanic. But inside, you feel what it's like to be in the real Titanic. Dave, was this it? Were you surrounded by 400 artifacts? Were you touching a real iceberg, walking on the Grand Staircase?
More importantly, was Leo there?
Oh, God, I hope so. That would have been great.
You put your hand in 28-degree water?
I remember the cold iceberg, yeah. Yeah, I remember this.
All right, well, 3 people injured. They closed down for a while. It just seems like the ultimate weirdness. But they will open back up today. I have a random fact for you. This Friday is National Root Beer Float Day.
Oh, I love this.
Same here, Dave. I love a root beer float.
I do too, and I just never have them anymore.
Right?
Remember I told you I had kind of like a cow at Fritz's, which is similar.
Do they put chocolate in it? Is that what makes it a cow?
I don't know. I just was trying to go with something. It was like a Diet Coke with the custard, but the float is very similar. You put the ice cream and then the root beer over it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is there anything more to that?
Well, no, that's a root beer float. Fred, what are your thoughts? Root beer float, yes or no?
Yes, definite yes.
A&W restaurants are going to be giving them away for free on Friday. They're raising money for the Disabled American Veterans Charity. So this is
a great cause.
You could just, they ask you if you do go to an A&W and you get your free float that you donate to the cause. And I guess we have A&Ws nearby. I'm not familiar, but I looked it up. There's one in Collinsville, one in St. Charles, and one in Florissant, if you would like to help.
I remember back, Fred, I don't know if you remember this. There was a location between here and I'd say even maybe Herman. I don't think it went all the way to Columbia. But when I was going back and forth between Columbia and St. Louis
in
the
80s,
there was one kind of right off the beaten track that I would go
to. Yeah, that's when I was in college. It was there, too.
Right.
Oh, yep.
Yum. You can't beat that. 5 questions people have asked Google the most in the last 15 years. Number 1, what time is it? People, we have a phone.
Wait, what
is happening? Number 2, how do I tie a tie?
Let me go back to number 1 real quick.
Yes.
Is there a chance that maybe that's because people would say, what time is it in
Tokyo?
Yeah.
Well, I guess so. That could be.
But we've done that a lot when we've had to call guests over in England or Italy or wherever.
Yeah.
You always say, hey, what time is it in London?
That's fair.
That's the only thing I was thinking about that.
You guys know how to tie a tie, though, yes?
I learned when I was...
I'm looking at Dave right now because I wonder about that.
I can tie a regular tie, but not a bow tie.
No, I learned to tie a regular tie when I was probably 24, 25.
Yeah, it seems a little late.
I'm not proud of it.
I can tie a tie.
Number 3, this is somewhat disturbing. How to kiss. Huh.
Well, that's weird.
Well, if you've never done that before,
perhaps you're 15, maybe it's not so
weird.
There's
some good YouTube videos out there.
Well, that's why you Google it. Yes, exactly.
Dave, will you look it up and see what they say, what the answer
Dave,
is?
Dave, you do that.
How to
okay,
kiss.
Number
Wait,
four.
I'll do it.
Okay, please. Number four is another classic.
If I say how to kiss a girl, that's like being
No, don't
very,
say girl, just how
to kiss.
Number Thank four, you. Where am I? Which I
Where
mean,
am
it's
I?
Also somewhat disturbing. And then you think maybe you're standing in the street and you know it's terrible, the maps when you try to walk anywhere. Maybe you say, where am I? And it'll give you a cross street. This is what I'm hoping for America. And number five, how many ounces in a cup? Do you guys know this answer?
8 ounces. Six.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
I was going to say 16. No, I guess
pint.
I
that's
was wrong.
That's a pint, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Well, you better
well,
look
wait,
it up.
I was a little
thank
distracted
you,
because I have the answer to the previous
oh,
question.
Oh, good. Okay.
Sue, slide. This sounds like
this
I'm talking,
is
to, I'm
be
talking
so
to Andrew.
Gross.
This is like Andrew Cuomo, okay? I'm just going to warn
okay.
you right now.
Okay,
Sue,
right.
slide the tip of your tongue inside your partner's mouth and gently move it against the tip of his or her tongue.
Oh, no,
use light darting motions. What is it? This is WikiHow.
Oh, no.
Let's see.
Okay, I'm so sorry
Mark,
I brought
can
it
Can you
up.
Imagine the amount of spam email you're going to get from now on since you searched
that? Is so,
if
I don't know why that's so
kissing a girl,
gross.
Take her hand and slowly lift it to your mouth. Gently press your lips into the back of your hand or for 2 or 3 seconds before you break away. If you're Andrew Cuomo, grab her buttocks for 5 seconds. That's what it says right here.
Brush your hand across her stomach. She loves that.
And cup her breasts.
And 17 Magazine has the best kissing tips of 2021.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right.
They're
good,
out there.
Good to know. Well, that brings up this. I don't know how to give this random fact without having it sound just totally awful and dirty. But there is a world record for crushing nuts by sitting on them. A guy in Japan crushed 122 nuts in under a minute. Thank you.
I'm just going to leave it right there, Sue.
I'm going to close with one more.
I probably already had a Me Too moment with the kissing description.
That was a little much. I'll close with the other random fact. Ducks quack in different accents depending on where they're from.
No.
That is not true.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm going to... Have you ever, do you believe
Random
that, Klein?
Fact.
No.
They have different quacking
so
accents.
So British ducks quack different than
I'm not being that specific, but that's
do,
what it
do
says.
Do British ducks put R's in words like Cuba
okay,
that
you,
don't have R's in them? Or do they say
lieutenant
and things like that?
You are complete. I don't know that it's British ducks that are different.
Okay. That's very interesting, very unusual fact. But thank you, Sue, for Sue's News this afternoon. Casey Smedley, who's the executive director of America Rising, and she's a Kansas City native. She used to be with the RNC coming up. Scott Dixon, IndyCar Series driver. They're coming in with Chuck Wallace at Bomarito to talk about the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 coming up in a couple of Saturdays. We'll talk about that. 445, 97.1 FM Talk. That's liars and that's how we got. Yeah, I like this. Free Will to get us rolling here on a Tuesday afternoon in St. Louis. I'm so glad. Maybe it wasn't the final time that Rush swung through St. Louis, but one of the last two times I saw him out at the amphitheater. Dave, you ever seen him?
No. Are they one of the bands that do like the 16 farewell tours, though?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, now Neil Peart died. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
I do want
to
see him.
Way to be sensitive about that. When they lost their drummer, you're not going to see Rush in the same form. My God, how insensitive was that, Dave Klein, to the Rush fans of St. Louis. 428, we do have Scott Dixon coming in, very successful IndyCar driver, and I can't believe it's the fifth annual Bomarito Automotive Group 500, which has just been huge. It's coming up on the 21st, so Scott will be in here with Chuck Wallace from Bomarito in just a few minutes. Cassie Smedley is with me right now. She's the executive director of America Rising, and I understand, Cassie, a Kansas City native. Is that true?
That is very true. So while I have a lot of love for our friends on the other side of the state. Very, very proudly Missouri native.
Well, I'm a big Chiefs fan. I think we have a lot of Chiefs fans here in St. Louis since the Rams ditched out. So that is a good thing. And I spent a lot of time in Kansas City in my younger days. Very fond of it. Tell me about, before we get into some of the issues here, what is America Rising?
Yeah. So America Rising is an arm of the Republican family, the conservative sphere, but we're the guys out there doing all the opposition research that you hear about, ends up in a lot of ads. We work with virtually any candidate you can think of. They probably have some relationship with us. But beyond that, we've also expanded to, we have our Biden Accountability Initiative, holding the administration accountable. Lots of FOIAs involved in that. As you've probably noticed, they're not actually the most transparent administration in history like they promised they would
be.
But,
Cassie, why would you have to hold them accountable when the mainstream media does such a damn good job? There would be no need for that,
you know,
right?
I'm getting ready to go on vacation for the rest of the year. Yeah. But so that's a lot of our efforts focused there. And there's also just a lot of Democrats out there who are counting on the mainstream media to keep giving them a pass. And we're going to make sure they don't get that pass. So that's what we do day in and day out. It's a lot of fun.
Look, I highlight some of these things on a daily basis and have for a long time. And while I certainly wasn't a fan of some of the things that President Trump did, and behavior-wise in particular, I mean, there's just a complete pass when it comes to this administration. It seems like Peter Ducey is the only guy that's asking any serious questions in the press room.
Yeah, it's really incredible to watch, especially when you're the people armed with the information saying it wouldn't be that hard to just ask that little question and put them on the spot, and they just won't do it. And but again, they're used to getting a pass. When Peter Ducey does ask them the question, see how upset they get, because they don't think they should have to be held accountable. And we're seeing this. I'm just thinking in Missouri right now, you're seeing this at local elected officials, mayors trying to circumvent the system, of course, with the mask mandates I'm talking about in St. Louis and Kansas City. And thank goodness that not only do we have some friends in the media, but also that we have good elected officials who understand that there's an accountability factor that should be a big part of your job.
Yeah,
we had the Attorney General, Eric Schmidt,
on earlier talking about the situation you're referring to here with the St. Louis County Executive, which obviously has been pretty hot and has gotten some national attention, so that was very important. On the national front with some of these things that are happening, and I did speak with a member of Congress, Ann Wagner, earlier. Senator Blunt was on yesterday talking about infrastructure. I mean, the numbers, and I'm concerned about this. I've always been a fiscal conservative. I think some of that went by the wayside with some Republicans in the last 5 to 6 years. But the amount of money that we're talking about with these spending, I think everyone's kind of numb to it because the numbers are so high.
Yeah. Oh, and it's tragic that remember, it used to be a million here, a million there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. With these Democrats, it's a trillion here, a few trillion there. And you're saying, at what point does this all catch up with us? And it's not just our children and grandchildren that we're talking about. It's us. It's here and now. And as you've got these legislators who are returning to their districts for the August recess or August work period, those are the questions that they need to be asked, especially of these Democrats who not only keep supporting these bills, but introducing them and saying that that should be our future. They are trying to spend your money into socialism. And it is not a one-off. They no longer can use the excuse of this is COVID relief, quote unquote, and we have to do it, which I think there was an argument to be made for that a year and a half ago. But now it's saying, leave us alone. Let us keep more of our money. Let us figure out how to get our lives back on track. Stop taking our money to try and impose your socialist agenda, which, to be very clear, is what Bernie Sanders and the squad and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are all trying to do under the guise of some sort of COVID relief. And I think the American people are very wise to it.
I think they are, too. And, of course, we have a member, Cory Bush, of the squad here in St. Louis as well. Maybe there's a good example of this going on right now with the rental assistance, because I think people needed help during COVID. There's no doubt. We saw lockdowns and the economy shut down. But this has been going on for 16 months now, where people have not been able to pay their rent. There's been a lot of money spent with that. And now we have members like Cory Bush and others that are screaming about people being kicked out of their apartments. Well, I'm not happy that that's happening to people who are in need. There's ways to address that, but it's not just throwing more money at things.
That's right. And people who are in need, there are programs that have long been in place to help them get assistance. But this is just an idea of implementing a socialist agenda.
Sure.
And isn't it convenient that they started raising Cain about this within 72 hours, if even that, of it expiring? And now they're all passing the blame. Now they're trying to say it's the Supreme Court's fault. They only cared about it when the cameras started to notice and they realized they hadn't done anything about it. But I was hearing a story the other day about these poor landlords who, there was one who was saying, well, I've got a tenant who's subletting his apartment. He's moved out somewhere else. So he's got somebody else living in the place. I'm still not getting paid anything. He's getting paid something. So they're abusing the system. They know exactly what they're doing. And again, it's the hardworking men and women of America, whether that's restaurant workers, restaurant owners, landlords, who are really the ones who are left with no one to turn to advocate for them.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things where, to me at least, perception-wise, it's only one side of the story that's being told in most of the media. It's the poor people who are being kicked out of their homes. And in many cases, that's a very sad thing, depending on the circumstances. But the circumstances are very detailed and nuanced, aren't they?
Well, certainly. And again, stop sitting on March of 2020 as your reasoning for why you want to do something now in August of 2021. Because I don't know about you, but as I walk around, whether it's Kansas City or Washington, D.C., it's we're hiring. Help wanted, help needed. There are ways to go out and get a job. This is not like when everything shut down a year and a half ago. So there are ways to not only get a job, but then presumably be able to pay your bills. And they're very competitive wages, some of the most competitive we've ever seen. So this is also a double-edged sword here, that you've got people saying, oh, we can't put people out on the street. And of course, there's a lot of empathy for and sympathy for that plight. But then you're looking at restaurant managers who are saying, I really want to serve you, but I can't open up half my restaurant because I don't have somebody to go and serve that table. So where is the balance in that, and where is the proper amount of advocacy for where the real needs are in our country right now?
Cassie Smedley is with me. She's the executive director of America Rising. When it comes to this administration, and I had Congresswoman Wagner on earlier, she's decided to run for re-election in the 2nd District here in St. Louis, was considering running for the Senate. But one of the things we talked about, and you know politics pretty well, it's not too fun to be in the minority, but there's an opportunity, and I think a very excellent chance for the Republicans to gain back a lot more seats and be in the majority again. But where do you think, and where does America Rising think, that this administration and the Democrats are most vulnerable right now?
Well, I think it's a lot of what we've just talked about with the rising costs, the spending, and the inflation. I think they're really underestimating how tuned in people are to how much our costs are going up, whether it's the gas station or at the grocery store, and that they're not addressing it because you saved 16 cents on your 4th of July barbecue, which, by the way, you got to have because we told you it was okay because we declared independence on a COVID virus, which now is reemerging, apparently. So that's the type of stuff. It's in the pocketbooks. It's, to borrow the old phrase from James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. And what is your real economy with your family? You can see the stock market. You can hear the administration talk about things on the boom, things bouncing back. But if you're not feeling that, and that's not reflected in your life, and you're still trying to figure out how to get two parents back to work while you got kids who can't go full time back in school. And when they are back in school, they got to wear a mask or they got to have some sort of CRT curriculum. All these things that are compounding to you not feeling like things are going as well as they once were for your family. And I think that's what's this going to come down to. And we've seen it. Another big thing that we do at America Rising is we're those trackers. We're the guys who get them saying the silly stuff on camera that they hope no one noticed. And we've already cataloged any number of instances of Democrats being at public events, getting asked about rising costs and inflation and compounding that with the big spending bills. And they shrug their shoulders or they say, that's not real. That's a conservative conspiracy theory. That's not real. That's not what's happening. And to that person in the crowd, they're saying, your talking points might tell you one thing, but my pocketbook tells me another, and I vote with my pocketbook.
Well,
and that's really something they're going to get serious about.
I'd say beyond that, the one thing that I feel here, you know, in my neck of the woods, and you know the Midwest, is what's happening, and we don't have time to talk about this because I got to get to another segment here, but what's happening with critical race theory, and that is resonating.
Mm-hmm.
That is resonating with people. There is no doubt about that, and they don't want any part of it in the schools. Cassie, thanks so much for coming on 97.1 FM Talk. I appreciate it. We'll have you back.
Would love to. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Governor Mike Parson is going to join us in the next hour. Kind of a big news day around here with the Attorney General Eric Schmidt winning his suit against St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. A big victory there. We covered that at the beginning of the show. The governor's going to join us at 5:20. And also this afternoon, CNET editor-at-large Ian Scheer. I think this is interesting, and I don't think many people are talking about it, but DirecTV has broken free from AT&T. Remember when AT&T bought DirecTV? And now they're getting rid of it. So we'll talk about that, some new Twitter privacy rules. And Alexa, I mentioned this last week. I have an Alexa. I have a daughter named Alexa. But it's getting a bit of a new name and voice, and we'll talk about that as well. It's hard for me to believe that we're now on the cusp of the fifth annual Bomarito Automotive Group 500. It's coming up Saturday, August 21st at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Chuck Wallace is with us this afternoon to talk a little bit about what's going on. Also, Chris Blair, who is the VP of the Worldwide Technology Raceway. Gentlemen, how are you? Welcome back into the studio. And the race is only a couple of weeks away, right?
Good afternoon.
How are you? Well, I want to talk here just about how this has kind of caught me off guard, Chuck, that this is already the fifth year. I feel like you guys were just in when I was over at KMOX announcing this, right?
Yeah, it's gone fast, but it's been a great journey. We are in year number five, and it's going to be a really, really good year.
So explain the whole concept, how it began bringing these Indy cars here to across the river, and how big this event has become.
Well, it originally started when Curtis Francois took over the racetrack 10 years ago. He purchased the racetrack. As many people know, it was on the verge of going away forever. Curtis, who is a successful businessman here in St. Louis, saved the racetrack. And on his bucket list of events that he wanted to have at the track, IndyCar was at the top. So we began that process in 2013 of pursuing IndyCar. We had to sell them on the concept of coming to St. Louis, had to sell them on our venue, and our actions had to speak louder than words. And we proved a lot with our NHRA race and with our NASCAR truck race. And once IndyCar saw what we were doing and they met Curtis and they saw his passion for not only the track but also for the city, they gave us a chance. And we've surprised everyone and exceeded all their expectations. The fans and the community have really stepped up to make this a great event.
And thank God, because there's a large part of me that feels, and I think a lot of people would agree with this, Chuck, you too, that if that had not happened, that place would be a lot like the Dome here, that we're not sitting too far away than just a big, vast waste of space, and that would have been sad.
Yeah, I think it would have been gone. The metal and all was just a couple of days away from being finished, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, it was going to be scrapped, but Curtis stepped in and saved it, and it's a great story someday when he wants to tell you, but it was a complicated thing to get it done, and he's a wizard. He was really good at it.
Sounds like a good documentary at some point.
Well,
don't you think?
I like to say that it's a story that's still writing itself, because yeah. Curtis is constantly making improvements. He's about ready to unveil a major plan to do more enhancements for the fan experience when you come to the racetrack. And it's a lot of people are taking notice. We're getting recognized all over the world because this event showcases St. Louis and our venue to a large international audience, bigger than most other sporting events that we have in our city. And a lot of people are starting to recognize
that. Yeah, I think that's something that we forget that here in St. Louis, how big of an international audience it has. Well, let's bring in Scott Dixon. He's an IndyCar Series driver. He's going to be here for the race. Scott, how are you this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, tell me what this race means for you back here in the St. Louis region.
Yeah, it's definitely it's great to be back and racing in St. Louis. Bomarito Automotive have done a fantastic job in getting this back on our schedule. Last year was definitely a great year for myself and picking up my first win there and a milestone for myself being the 50th career win. So it's definitely a tough track. It's a fast track. It's going to be back under lights this year, so lots of fireworks on and off the circuit as well. But just excited to get back here. It's a track that requires a lot of skill and obviously very fast. You're going over well over 200 miles an hour going into turn one and having to sort of brake and get that car through the corner. But it provides great racing. So looking forward to getting back there in a couple of weeks.
Fastest I have ever been in a car was on that track with Curtis in a cool Corvette where he was tanking me around that first turn, I think at a little lower speed than you guys go, but it did give me, a bit of a perspective on what you have to do. And, I'm just a guy that used to ride bikes, don't know even much about them, but the amount of braking that goes into that turn, that would probably surprise a lot of people, right? Because you're just hammering those brakes, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. And these cars are obviously, high performance, so they stop, very well. But, even going from those speeds and qualifying, you're some guys actually choose not to brake, kind of coast in and let the banking take care of it. But, you're going in there sixth gear, some are down to fourth and then back on it. So it's quite a wild ride. You're getting into that banking and the grip level goes up a ton. You're pulling probably 4 or 5 G at that point, then accelerating back down that back straight. So it's a wild ride for sure.
Are the dynamics for racers changed because it's at night and under the lights or not?
It changes a little bit. You know, the performance of the car is better. The engine performs better. The tires perform better. But that's the same for everybody, unfortunately. You know, if it was just yourself, that would be great. But, you know, I think it visually, you know, Indy cars look fantastic under the lights. You know, we only do it maybe three times a year at most. Sometimes, you know, not even the case. So, you know, I think it's great for the fans, especially in the summer months. You know, it's a great way to, you know, spend your Saturday night or Sunday. So, yeah, it probably visually changes just the way you see things a little bit, but honestly, you know, these tracks are so well lit up that for the driver it actually, you know, feels pretty much like daylight.
And I think it's a great fan experience, especially when you have a hot day. It's not a good example today, but if it's 90 degrees, it's gonna be a little cooler at night. I asked I'm good friends with Kenny Wallace. I don't know if you know Kenny personally, but he's a great fixture here in St. Louis, obviously from the NASCAR world. But I asked him this question last week because I thought that someone like him and certainly someone like you can relate to what Simone Biles was going through. Have you thought about that? Because this is a very mental game too, isn't it? Driving a race car at ungodly speeds.
It absolutely is. You know, I think any sport, and especially when you make it to, you know, the top and the pinnacle areas of that, you know, and there's pressures from many directions, right? And, you know, whether it's sponsors or whether it's, you know, the performance of the team and, you know, the team owner or anything like that. And you know, how you deal with that personally can be tough. And some people are struggling with that. You know, I know I still get, you know, extremely nervous before a race, but that's just the competitive side of me wanting to, you know, perform well. So, you know, there's definitely times that it can become a little bit overwhelming, but you know, how each person deals with it is, you know, kind of their own personal experience.
There was a movie out a couple of years ago that documented there was some driver, and I could relate to this because I used to have a friend that was a really top-tier cyclist, and before every race he would puke. It was just part of what he did. And I've heard that other athletes sometimes do that.
Yeah, I have loads of friends, you know, they're going up and growing up through the junior categories that would do that. Yeah, I had a friend that threw up every race, you know. So it is unnerving and you know, I don't know, some people thrive on that, some people struggle with it a little bit more. You know, so it is a personal, you know, kind of situation, but you know, it's definitely tough mentally, physically. And as you see, you know, sometimes even the people at the top of the game are still really struggling with it.
Well, Scott, I'm going to let you go and get all the details on the race from these guys in the studio. I appreciate it. And good luck with everything. Stay safe here in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. Chuck and Chris, fill in the blanks here, because outside of the race, the big race stuff, there's all kinds of things going on for this weekend, aren't there?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we try to do. I like to tell everybody our biggest competition for entertainment these days is big screen TVs and comfortable couches.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is provide an experience that you can't get from, you know, sitting in your living room. You need to get out and experience it. So what we try to do is from the moment our fans walk through the gates until the time they leave, we try to keep them entertained, whether it's obviously the on-track activity, but we put a lot of effort into all the other events taking place on the midway, kids' activities, interactive displays. When we start getting into showtime, we have flyovers and you know, pyro shows.
Yeah.
I try to make it a three-ring circus. That's basically what I'm looking for. And this year we're having post-race music.
Yeah, you got a band coming out, don't you?
Yeah, we have Steel Panther, which they're an interesting group that a lot of folks will love. But we're doing...
All right, now I'm getting laughs in the studio. What genre? Is it like, it sounds like heavy.
They were the 80s metal band that never was.
I like the name. I like Steel Panther. Yeah. It's a good name.
So we're having that. Yeah, you know, so we're just trying to do something just to, you know, so that when people do get out of the house, a lot of people are still celebrating the fact that they can get out of the house. We want them just, you know, get the most for their entertainment dollar, and we've got to deliver and give them an experience that they can make a memory that'll last a lifetime and just have a great time with their family.
Well, it's coming up on Saturday, August 21st. Website for ticket information, things along those lines.
You can go to WWTRaceway.com, or you can follow us on social at WWTRaceway. And then our friends over at Bomarito Automotive Group, you can just go to Bomarito.com. They actually have some upgrade opportunities where you can hang out with Chuck during the night of the race
and
get
that.
The VIP experience.
Do you have to pay someone to spend time with you, Chuck, or do they
always
have to bid on that?
Always have to pay someone.
Well, this is fun. I think it's great. I'm going to try to get out there that weekend because I have not been to any of the previous installations of this race. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll have a great weekend here. All the details up on the website. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Thank you to Bomarito for doing all this as well. It's become a big event. It's on the map here in St. Louis. And hello to Curtis. We'll get Curtis. Bring Curtis by before the race next week or the following week. I always love to talk with him because he is a fascinating guy. There's no doubt about that. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I'm late. I'm looking at the clock. Dave's probably yelling at me. The race is coming up in a couple of weeks, Saturday, August 21st. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.